And very briefly, we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer now for the preaching of His word to our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank You that Thy word is a living book. Lord, we've heard it said many times, it's more up to date than tomorrow's headlines. And we thank You that there is a word in season for all of our souls. We pray that as we come to examine it now, that Thou will be pleased to give us understanding. Lord, bring us to give attention to the word and the message that will be proclaimed. And for me, Lord, I am not sufficient in myself to handle Thy word. And therefore, I pray for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. May I be borne along by the Spirit of God. May I be filled with the Spirit. May my tongue and my lips be touched with the live coal from off the altar. May I have a word in season for each one. May it come direct from me through Thy word via this vessel to the souls of men and women. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. My text this morning is found at the end of verse 49 of John chapter 1. They are the words of Nathanael, one of the disciples or apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "Thou art the King of Israel." Thou art the King of Israel. This portion of scripture that we have read together records for us the conversion and the calling of five of the Lord's apostles. We read together how the Lord called Simon Peter. Before he did that, he had already had two men follow him. One was Andrew, Simon's brother, and one, we believe, was John the Apostle. John the Baptist had pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John and Andrew followed the Lord. And then Andrew, his brother Simon Peter, he found Simon and he told him to find the Messiah or the Christ. The Lord Jesus then went and found Philip. And Philip came and he found Nathanael. And one by one, they were all pointed to the Lord. They were converted and they began to follow the Lord. Now I want to say, before I go any further, these men were not converted because they were Jews. They were not converted because they knew the scriptures. And they were not converted because they were upright, honest, hard-working young men. And if you read this portion of scripture, again, you will discover that they were all of those things. They were born into the covenant people, as it were. They were Jews by birth. You will discover that as you read this portion, they had a knowledge of the scripture. When John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew and John knew what that meant. They knew that the Lamb of God was a title for the Messiah. And they began to follow Him. As you read of Nathanael's conversion, you discover that he knew something, that the Messiah would be the King of Israel. And you discover that they were honest young men. They were fishermen. They were men with other employments as well. They were honest young men. But that's not what saved their souls. What saved their souls, we see a little, or we get a clue to in verse 38, because when Andrew and John are following the Lord, Jesus asked them the question, "What seek ye?" What saved their souls? They personally sought the Lord Jesus by faith. They believed that He was the promised Messiah. They trusted Him and they began to follow Him and they were taught of Him. You'll notice their response. They said unto Him, "Rabbi," that means master or teacher.
And I remind you this morning, that's how men and women and young people are converted. They personally seek the Lord Jesus by faith as their Savior. They begin to follow Him by faith and they begin to learn of Christ, so they walk in His ways. And at this point, these five men are brought to Christ and they begin to follow Him. Now when you come to Nathanael, the Lord paid Nathanael a tremendous compliment. You'll see it there in verse 47. Nathanael was under the fig tree, and I'm not going to get sidetracked this morning into Nathanael, the specific details of his conversion, but Nathanael was a skeptic when he heard the word. He was skeptical that Jesus was the Messiah. And then the Lord came to him and the Lord made that comment in verse 47. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. The word Israel, or the name Israel, means a prince of God. That's what the Lord makes us when we're saved. He takes us from the dunghill. He takes us from the horrible pit and the miry clay. He takes us as children of the wicked one, children of the devil, children of disobedience, and He makes us princes of God. He makes us to sit in heavenly places, and as His children, the children of the Lord, we're heirs of God. We're princes of the Lord, as it were. He says, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, there's no deceit. Here's a sincere and an honest young man. What a compliment that was. And when the Lord paid him that compliment, Nathanael answers. And in verse 48, he comes to the point of 48 and 49, he comes to the point of saving faith in Christ. He asked the Lord, how do you know me? And of course the Lord knew him, because the Lord knows all things. He said, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The Lord knows every one of us. He knows all about us. He knows where we are and what we're doing. And it was at that moment that Nathanael realized, yes, this is the Messiah. And he put his faith and his trust in Christ. And then he utters that statement of confession and faith. He said, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And that little statement, Thou art the King of Israel, it shows us and it teaches us the attitude of a true convert to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does a true convert and a new convert view the Lord Jesus Christ? You have it summed up there in that little statement. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And as I considered that little statement, Thou art the King of Israel, there were a number of things that it suggested to me that are relevant to those who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What did Nathanael mean? What was entailed within that statement? Thou art the King of Israel. Well, I want to say firstly, it was a doctrinal statement. And it revealed something about the doctrine of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the term King of Israel is a title that in its highest meaning is reserved for the Messiah, the Lord, and for the God of heaven and earth. I want you to turn back in the Old Testament to the prophecy of Zephaniah. The prophecy of Zephaniah. And the chapter 3. Now, if you have trouble finding Zephaniah, you go to the minor prophets. And there we have Nahum, Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. And after Zephaniah, you have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So it's Zephaniah chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 15. Zephaniah chapter 3 and the verse 15. The Lord Now let me just stop there for a moment. I've maybe pointed this out before. But when you read the name Lord in the Old Testament, and it's in capital letters, it's the name Jehovah. So we could rightly read this verse, Jehovah, the one true and living God, the eternal God. And the name Jehovah refers to the fact that the Lord is not only eternal, but He's unchanging. He's the great I Am. And we could rightly read this verse, Jehovah hath taken away thy judgments, He hath cast out thine enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord. And do you see the Lord again? It's in capital letters. So again, it's the Old Testament name for God, Jehovah. The Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Who is called the King of Israel? It's Jehovah. It's the Lord. Jehovah hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even Jehovah, is in the midst of thee. Isn't that what we want? We want the Lord. We want Jehovah to be in our midst. And when He's in our midst, He defeats our enemies. He casts out the enemy. But the point I'm making to you is this. Here is a title. And while there were earthly kings ruling over the people of Israel, yet in its highest sense, this is a title that is given to Jehovah Himself. He is the King of Israel. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. And again, we have this thought confirmed that this is a title that is given to Jehovah Himself. Isaiah 44 and the verse 6. Thus saith the Lord. Do you see the word Lord in the Authorized Version? It's in capital letters. It's the name Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel. It's Jehovah who is the King of Israel. And notice what it goes on to say. And His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. You know, the Muslim will tell you, the Jehovah's Witness will tell you, and the Jew might even tell you that the idea of the Trinity is unknown in the Old Testament. That it only comes into play in the New Testament, and as they reject the New Testament, they don't believe in the Trinity. Well, there are many places in the Old Testament that the Trinity is set forth, and here's one of them. You'll see there's a plurality in the Godhead in this verse. Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer. Who's the Lord's Redeemer? The Lord, and that's in capital letters too. That's Jehovah as well. Jehovah of hosts. You see, the Father is Jehovah, and the Son is Jehovah, and He's the Redeemer, and the Spirit is Jehovah. Great Jehovah, three in one. There in Isaiah 44 and verse 6, you have the plurality in the Godhead. There's many other places in the Old Testament where the plurality in the Godhead is seen. The Lord said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in His own image. He wasn't talking to the angels, and He wasn't talking to the devil, and He wasn't talking to creation. It was a conversation within the Godhead. Let us make man in our own image. I'm just pointing out that the Old Testament teaches the plurality in the Godhead. And here we have another instance where that plurality is taught and God is called. Jehovah is termed the King of Israel. When Nathanael was converted, was he just making an off-the-cuff remark that he didn't understand and he didn't know the full meaning of? I don't believe it. When Nathanael looked at the Lord Jesus and he realized He was the Messiah, Nathanael knew that the promised Messiah, he knew the Scriptures, he knew the promised Messiah would be, as Paul put it, God manifested in the flesh. And in John chapter 1, it's one of those chapters that presents the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, he was not merely a man. He was a true man. He had a true human nature. But before he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he was the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. He was and he is Jehovah. And when Nathanael looked the Lord Jesus in the eye and he called him the Son of God and the King of Israel, he was acknowledging his deity. He was acknowledging that God was manifested in the flesh and that he was the Messiah, the Savior of sinners. And I say again to you, John chapter 1 is one of those chapters that presents the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins or commences, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and with him was not anything made that was made." And then it concludes with this confession, "Thou art the King of Israel," a title for Jehovah himself. That says to me that when an individual like Nathanael is truly converted to Christ, they will have their understanding open to see who Jesus is. He is the King of glory. He is God manifested in the flesh. Do you remember when the Lord spoke to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 16? He said, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do ye say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Another confession of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the hymn writer was correct when he said, "What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest if you first think not rightly of him." The saved soul confesses, Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh to take away our sins. While men want to deny it, Professor Davy denied it. Professor Davy, the former moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church, he denied the full deity of Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. Of course, Islam denies it. The Bible teaches and we maintain Jesus Christ is God, manifested in the flesh. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. He is Jehovah. But then I want you to consider, secondly, this is not only a doctrinal statement, but this is a devotional statement. You see, when Nathanael said, "Thou art the Son of God, Thou art the King of Israel," it's interesting to note when he said that. I've already highlighted verse 47. Look at it again. Jesus speaking to Nathanael, he said, "Behold an Israelite indeed." You think of the meaning of those words. The Lord Jesus is looking at Nathanael and he said, "You're an Israelite, a true Israelite." And in response, Nathanael says, "You are the King of Israel." Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's saying? Do you see what he's acknowledging? Nathanael is acknowledging the kingship, the authority, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ over him. "If I'm an Israelite, you are my king." And he is bowing in submission to the authority, the word, and the sovereignty or the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ over him. In essence, Nathanael was saying what we were saying. "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned bride, lead me to Calvary. Nathanael's confession that the Lord Jesus Christ was not only his Savior, but was his King. And I say to you that every true convert will not only see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh to take away our sins, but every true convert will acknowledge the kingship of Christ over their lives. How sad today that we live in an age when many are happy to hear about the sacrifice of Christ, but don't want to know anything about the sovereignty of Christ. Many today are happy to profess the Savior with their lips, but they do not want the Lord Jesus or His Word to reign over them. The Lord's words come to mind when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The Lord was teaching that if you profess Him with your lips, then your life should be in submission to Him. There should be an obedience to Him as the King, as the ruler, as the sovereign Lord over His kingdom, over His people, and over His church. It's a lie of the devil to think that you can somehow acknowledge the Lord as Savior, but not take Him as your King. When Nathanael was converted, he not only acknowledged the Lord as the Son of God, but the King of Israel and my King. What does it mean for a Christian? What does it mean for an individual to acknowledge and to have the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of their life? I like what John Gill, the commentator, and he was a predecessor of Spurgeon, I like what he said. He said this: Christ is King in Zion, enacts laws, appoints ordinances, and gives commands which He enjoins His subjects to obey. He puts His Spirit within His people to enable them to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments to do them. The Shorter Catechism tells us that Christ executeth the office of a king, or He performs the office of a king, by subduing us to Himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all His and our enemies. Do you see there are two aspects to Christ's kingship? He rules His people, and He defends His people. And as such, He has given us a rule of faith and practice, and it's this word. And in His word, we read of those commands, of those ordinances, of those laws and decrees that He would have us to live by. He is King of His church. He has ruled how we are to worship Him. With praise, with prayer, with preaching, and the sacraments. He has ruled how we are to walk with Him or live for Him. He has set down laws that we are to follow and duties that we are to perform. He has set down how we are to witness for Him and how we are to spread the gospel all around and tell it to others. He rules us as His people. And the genuine convert bows the knee and submits to the authority of Christ as it's revealed in His word. And then He defends us from all His and all our enemies. Someday He's going to put down all of our enemies. We shall reign with Him gloriously. The Lord is the King. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of the spiritual Israel. He is the King of His church. And He, one day, we'll see in a moment, will not only be King of Israel, but King over all the earth. Let me ask you a question this morning. Firstly, have you bowed the knee? Have you submitted to Christ in salvation? Made him the king of your life? And Christian, let me ask you, are you walking in submission to your king? Are you seeking to walk in his ways and live daily under his rule and under his authority, saying, what will thou have me to do? There's a third thing in this statement and confession of Nathanael. It's not only a doctrinal statement and a devotional statement, but it is a demanding statement. Thou art the king of Israel. If Nathanael's summary or summation of Jesus Christ is right, and we believe that it is, then I put it to you, it awaits a full and a final fulfillment. You turn back in the Gospels to the book of Luke in the chapter 1, when the Lord sent his messenger to Mary. The angel of the Lord came to Mary. He spoke these words. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. That's the Lord Jesus. He shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Those are the words of the angel to Mary concerning the babe that was conceived in her womb. And I want you to see particularly that it was promised to Mary that the child that she would bear would sit upon the throne of David. The throne of David was the throne of Israel. Now I put it to you that in the Lord's first coming, the only crown he wore was a crown of thorns. He never sat upon any throne. In fact, in John 6, when the people were going to come and take him by force and make him king, he went out of their midst. Because his time was not yet come. He must suffer and then enter into his glory. At his first coming climaxed with his crucifixion, with his death and with his burial, and he rose again and he entered into heaven. I believe the words of the angel to Mary have yet to be fulfilled. I believe the words of Nathanael, thou art the king of Israel, are yet to have their full and their final fulfillment. Because my Bible tells me the Lord Jesus Christ is not finished with this earth. And my Bible tells me he's not finished with the nation of Israel. And the Bible tells me when he is revealed a second time in power and in great glory, he's going to descend and his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. He's not coming to New York and he's not coming to Sydney and he's not coming to London and he's not coming to Paris or anywhere else. He's coming to Jerusalem. His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. And in that day, Matthew 25 tells me, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And I believe in that day, take the throne in Jerusalem. And he'll not only be king over Israel, he'll be king over all the earth. And in that day, Revelation chapter 11 shall be fulfilled whenever it tells us the kingdoms of this world. This world. The sovereignties of this world shall become the sovereignties or the kingdoms of our God and our Christ. And it will be the flag of King Jesus that will be flying over the parliament buildings of this world. He'll sit upon that throne and he will rule and he will reign over the kingdoms. And he'll reign gloriously. What a demanding statement this is. Do you know, as I try to just conclude, I want to say that Nathaniel had a future hope. He recognized that Jesus was the King. Men and women, all he saw in the Lord and his first coming was Christ going about doing good, preaching the gospel, healing the sick. And then he witnessed those men take their hands and beat him and crucify him and put him to death. And he beheld the resurrected Lord and he saw him ascend into heaven, but he knew he was King. He had a future hope in the reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would be manifest not only in his heart as a believer, but visibly and publicly in this world. I wonder this morning as we close, have you that future hope? Do you recognize that though the Lord was once rejected and by the world disowned, that the crowning day is coming? One day he's going to be revealed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and reign over all the earth. And if you're not saved, like the goats, he will usher you away into hell. Or will you be like the sheep who shall reign gloriously with him? Have you that future hope? Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. A doctrinal statement. The child of God sees that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. It's a devotional statement. The child of God submits to the kingship and authority of Christ over their personal life. And it's a demanding statement that will yet be fulfilled. Because he's coming back again. He's going to reign gloriously. Will you reign with him? I trust you will.